Welcome to the Hills Baptist Podcast. We're so glad you're joining us as we see Jesus glorified, lives transformed, and hope revealed in the Adelaide Hills and beyond. We hope you enjoy this message.
We are starting a new sermon series this week in Luke. And this sermon series is kind of almost a follow-on from our last sermon series in 1 Peter, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But so far this year, we've been diving really deep into what it means to be a consecrated disciple. What that actually means. What life as a Christian holds, and what it means to be set apart. Oh, laptop. What an exhilarating start. It's all right, don't worry. It's safe. So as we jump into this next series, we, being the pastoral team, thought that it would be really important to give a really practical send out, a really practical response to all the things that we've heard this year. And for me, growing up in the church, it was really easy to kind of sit there on a Sunday, listen to a sermon, and think, wow, that's really good, and then proceed in my week to not think about it once again. So this sermon series, we're going to try something different. I'm going to explain the response at the end, but it causes us to go, and it causes us to go on mission in our world. So just, that's a little taster, that's a little preview for you. And my hope and prayer throughout this whole series is that we are challenged to go out, proclaim the good news of Jesus, and liberate the oppressed, as it says in Luke, which we'll jump into. So for today, we're going to be just building some foundations. If you're a titled person, this sermon series and this sermon is called Follow Me on Earth as It Is in Heaven. And we're going to be looking at two main points today, just to set up this sermon series in all its fullness. Those two main points are, what are the pursuits of the world? And secondly, in line with Jesus' mission, how are we supposed to live? So we're going to read from Luke. I have two kind of passages that we're going to be reading from. So, if you have your Bibles, the first one is from Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. In my Bible, it's page 1780. If that helps, probably not. So we're going to read from Luke chapter 8, verses 4-7. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground. And when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up with it and choked out the plants. And verse 8, still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than what was sown. Interesting. Let's flip to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verses 23-27. Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Good Father, thank you so much for your word, first and foremost. that it's alive, that it speaks to us. And so, Jesus, I just pray that as we launch into your word this morning, that you would give us eyes to see, ears to listen, and a heart to receive your word and what it is that you want us to receive this morning. So, Lord Jesus, we just pray that you would open us up to the working of your spirit, that we would know your presence in this place. Pray all this in your name. Amen. Amen. When I first started out in ministry, 3.5 years ago now, I had a lot of passion and energy. Not that I don't now. I'm still very passionate, maybe a bit less energetic. And I hit the ground running as fast as I could. Really hit the ground sprinting. And I felt the Spirit move a lot in that time. It was a really awesome formational kind of couple of years for me in there. And so I just kept running into different things and trying to just experience as much as I could and grow as much as I could as a pastor. And I remember in particular one night where I just felt so far away from Jesus. And I didn't quite understand why, because I was doing the thing. I was doing the thing. And I was doing it as best as I possibly could. And it was like, why do I not feel the presence of God in this space? And as I thought about it in that moment, as I think back on it now, I think I realized that very subtly, over a long time, that ministry had become almost like this idol in my life, that had become the thing over Jesus. Now, I love ministry, and I would say that ministry is a really good thing. But for me in this time, my life had become more about my job than about necessarily following Jesus. And I tell this story because I think one of our greatest dangers here as Christians in 21st century Western Australia isn't kind of this open rebellion against God. For most of us, we're not likely to be persecuted or killed because of our faith. Rather, I think one of the greatest dangers is being slowly distracted by good things until they quietly take the place that God should have in our life. I think that's probably more of a danger for us. In Luke 8, verse 4 to 8, as we read earlier, Jesus tells this parable about this seed falling on four different kinds of soil. And this is a warning to all Christians to consider which soil they are planted in, which soil they are. And as a church, we want to encourage all of us over these next kind of 9 weeks to consider which seed, which soil they are planted in. In the parable, this second soil, the kind of rocky path, kind of points us to a warning for incoming suffering. Now, we've just spent 8 weeks in 1 Peter kind of looking at what the dangers of this are for us as Christians. And now, in our series in Luke, we're kind of moving on a little bit into this third soil, this soil where the thorns come up and choke it out. And it's a challenge for us in our comforts. It's a challenge for us in the things that we enjoy, which maybe seems a little uncomfortable, but we're going to be looking at that over the next 9 weeks. Now, if you think back to our series in 1 Peter, Peter says that your faith is worth more than gold, right? Your faith is the most valuable thing that you own. And I think there's so much good stuff in this parable in particular, parable of the sower, because if your faith is worth worth more than gold, then suffering comes as a means to destroy your faith, but comforts come as a means to distract your faith. Right? So we're going to be looking at that. Suffering makes us ask the question, why is this happening to me? Where is God in this? Or how on earth could God let this happen? Whereas I think comforts make us say, well, I don't really need God. I have all these things. They make us say, God, you can have these parts of my life, but definitely not these parts. God, you can have all the things that I'm comfortable with letting you have, but not the things that I want control over. Now, I think this speaks more to our context, and the reality is, as I said, here in Adelaide, here in the Western world, for a lot of us, we are comfortable. We are comfortable, and you're perhaps more comfortable than you think. When we look around the world, there are so many more people who are worse off than us. And in this parable, the third soil, interestingly, is really good soil. Are there any botanists in the room? No, that's interesting. We don't have any botanists in our church. Cool. Any gardening enthusiasts? Oh, come on, a couple of gardeners. Let's go. Interestingly, thorns grow best in good soil, which is why I think it's real. Yeah, tell me about it. Which is why I think it's really interesting why Jesus uses this example to kind of talk about the comforts of life. Thorns grow best in good soil. And just because the seed lands on good soil, just because your faith lands on good soil, doesn't mean that it can't be choked out. Actually, I think the danger of good soil is the thorns and the weeds that grow so well in the soil is what makes a good harvest grow too. And Jesus says that these things represent life's riches, life's worries, and life's pleasures, which so easily entangle and distract our hope in Him. So as we journey through Luke, as we journey through this whole book, the aim is to challenge people to move past these things, understanding that comforts come. Comforts are there, yes. But for a lot of us, if we don't have the proper kind of understanding or awareness, they serve as a means to distract our faith and our hope in Jesus. So let's jump in to our first question. What are the pursuits of the world? What are the pursuits of the world? And how do we deal with them as well? What does Jesus say? Now, we're going to be looking at Luke 9, verses 23 to 27, across this whole series. And so much so that it's an encouragement to memorize it. I don't know. I remember in kids' church back in the day, we used to have memory verses, and then we'd get up at the end and show everyone what verse we memorized. We're going to memorize as a church Luke 9, 23 to 27 over this whole series, just as an opportunity for you to commit scripture to memory. It's such a great thing. This is it. When you look at it like that, it's not that big. You can do it. I believe in you. And maybe if 25 of you do it, then Nick will do something special for you all. I just put that on Nick. I didn't ask him about that. So see how that goes. So we're going to jump into this. We're going to dive deeply into this passage today and just exegete it a bit so that we're well equipped for the rest of this series. Is that all right? Good. Because we're going to do it anyway. So firstly, Jesus says, verse 23, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. We're going to be breaking that down. So first, what does it look like to deny yourself? What does that actually mean? To be a disciple of Jesus, looking historically, looking at what Jesus said, looking at what all the apostles said, to be a disciple of Jesus requires self-denial. There will always be pleasures, comforts, and securities in life, but what we're going to be looking at is how a pursuit of these things, when these things become the thing in your life, leads us in a certain direction. And I find it fascinating because for a lot of us, these things that Jesus warns us against are the things that we worry about most, I think, in life. The comforts, the riches, the pleasures, all of those things, I think they're the things that we actually worry about most. Now, if you're set on pursuing all the earthly pleasures that you can imagine, all the comforts of life, all the securities that we can find in things like money, power, relationships, insert your own there. But Jesus warns in verse 25 of Luke 9 that you could lose or forfeit your very self. Now, the implication here is that if you chase after these things, then you can actually get them too. Jesus says, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world? You can gain the whole world. That's what Jesus is saying. You can gain the whole world, but in doing so, you will lose something that is far greater. And so Jesus isn't just saying there's no satisfaction in these things, which may be true. He's saying you, each of you, every single one of you this morning has a choice. Each person has a choice of two pathways. One leads to gaining the whole world but losing your soul. The other leads to eternal life, but you may lose parts of the world. So that question, and perhaps we can end the sermon series here, which one are you going to choose? Which one do you want to choose? That's a summary of the whole thing for you, just there. Now, for each of us in the room, that's going to look a little bit different. It just is. You might be 30 years down the road of this faith journey, or you might be just starting it, and it's going to be different for each of you. Now, for someone who's just beginning to follow Jesus, maybe denying yourself looks like saying no to old habits that keep coming up, that lead you away from Jesus. Or maybe for someone who's been following Jesus for their whole life or for decades, maybe the temptation is to settle in, to bunker down, to settle into kind of this comfortable Christianity. Jesus says, deny yourself, because when things other than Jesus take center stage in our life, they are the things that we follow. Now, a fun fact about me, I never learned how to ride a bike. And yeah, I know. How crazy is that? And I've heard, now this might be completely untrue, but I've heard where you lean and where you look is where you go when you're on a bike. Now, I don't know if that's true. Don't take that as good bike riding advice, but do take that as faith advice. Where you lean and where you look, it's where you're going to go. Right? And this is why Jesus says, deny yourself, saying, know yourself well enough to know which parts of you lean away from Jesus, right? Now, each week we're going to be looking at a different aspect of this. Next week we're going to be looking at the safety nets that we set up for ourselves. The following week we're going to be looking at kingdoms and then families and then on and on and on and on and on. So we're going to be doing a very big deep dive. But Jesus says, deny yourself. Then he says, take up your cross daily. Now, this daily is really important, but what does it mean to take up your cross? What does that actually mean? Paul speaks really clearly about this in Galatians 2, verse 20. He says this, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul is saying, my life is not my own. My life belongs to Jesus. There's something really, really freeing about that, I think. To wake up every morning and say, I belong to Jesus. He is my sustainer. He is my provider, my protector, and all that I need. How many of you do that first thing in the morning? How many of you pray that prayer? How many of you declare that to Jesus first thing in the morning when you wake up? God, you are my provider and my sustainer today. I definitely can't say that I do. But a good prayer to pray, something super simple, is out of Isaiah. In Isaiah 6, where God asks, who shall I send? Isaiah responds, here am I. Send me. Maybe that's a prayer of openness that the Lord wants you to pray every day, every morning. This is what it looks like to be a ready and active disciple in our lives. Lord, here am I. Use me. Send me. Now, perhaps an idea which might help in reshaping our understanding of Christianity is you have not just been saved for yourselves. You have not only been saved for yourself. Certainly, you have been saved, and it is a good thing for you. But you have also been saved for others. You've been saved to proclaim the good news of Jesus. In your words, in your actions, in your hopes, in your dreams, you are called to take up your cross daily. Now, our culture is and our world, I think, seeks comfort first. And I think that seeps a little bit into our churches. Now, 20 years ago, we would see a lot of cultural Christianity as our culture had very inherent Christian beliefs, but that's kind of moving away from that. And now I think as Christians, we get into a very similar mode, but different, of comfortable Christianity. Of I like what God's doing for me, but I don't want to necessarily go out because that's uncomfortable. That's hard sometimes. And when Jesus says, what good is it for you to gain the whole world but lose your very soul, he's speaking to a very different world. But I think the principle is the same. Jesus took up his cross and died so that you and I might be liberated from sin and death. And just as he took up his cross, we are called to do the same. And maybe in a different kind of way. And it's daily. It's daily. And that's really important because I don't think we do that particularly well either. Daily taking up our cross. Jesus knows that routinely entering into intimacy with God is what sustains us in the long run. Right? It sustains us not for the short little bit. We can deal with the short little bit, but in the long run, routinely entering intimacy with God is what sustains us. Now, I've had friends who've stepped away from their faith because they feel like God's not there. For me, all throughout my teenage years into kind of that early young adulthood, I spent barely any time with Jesus. And I felt it, right? I felt it. And those around me who knew me back then would say, you were a little bit different back then. I've had many people, interestingly, since I've been up at Hills from high school, come to the team service and say, what are you doing as a pastor? How did you end up here? The grace of God's pretty cool. Now, it's not like we're saved and then we're done. We're saved and then we walk the road, step by step, day by day, in an intimate relationship with God, following Jesus. And to follow Jesus is to desire him more than anything else. More than his gifts, more than his healing, his forgiveness, his deliverance, more than his salvation. Those are all things that he gives, but they're not what we're called to desire after. All of us, whether you're a Christian or not, have this kind of image of who God is. And this image of who God is quite often shaped by our experience of God. That's the way that our brain works. We can't actually help it. Our experiences shape our subconscious part of our brain. And you have a understanding of God, who God is, in your brain, but you also have a subconscious understanding of who God is through the way that you've experienced him. Now, our experiences shape what our understanding of God is. For example, my experience with God's love for me has been deeply shaped by my experience of my dad's love. And I'm sure a lot of you would have similar experiences with that. Some friends of mine went to a church, and unfortunately they had a really, really negative experience there. And that shaped the way that they saw the Holy Spirit. Our experiences shape the way that we see God. Now, when we talk about submitting everything to God, when we talk about following him with all that we got, when we talk about taking up our cross, so often we think about giving him our desires, our needs, our dreams, our will, all of those things. But I also think, for a lot of us, really importantly, we also need to give over to him our experiences of the church, of Christians, of people, all of those things. I want the fullness of God. Do you? I want the fullness of God. I want God in all of his fullness. And so if there's a little parts of my brain that hinder me from being in fullness of God, maybe a prayer to pray is God, take that part too. Now, would you trust God enough? Would you trust him enough to open yourself up to be surprised, maybe, by who he can be? Now, I think this is particularly challenging if you've been on a journey with Jesus for decades. Because over that time, you've had many experiences of who Jesus is. Many, many, many. But I think God wants to challenge us a little bit as a church. Submit our experiences to him, because he wants us to know him fully. And so we learn from verse 23, to be a Christian, to be a disciple, means to follow God and to die to self daily. And that die to self just means a denial, really, of many pleasures, comforts, and securities. It's a death to self-rule, is what it is. A death to self-sufficiency, self-exaltation, and self-survival as well. And it's a delight in Jesus above all things, which is really countercultural. But in our world, I think we have a pandemic of self-autonomy that's praised. And it's not necessarily a bad thing, but I think when it seeps into our Christian life, then we become isolated, and we can become further and further away from God, right? So here's kind of a summary of all of that. A consecrated disciple is called to deny themselves, take up a cross, and follow Jesus. This is a daily experience, one which counteracts our worldly desire to elevate a comfortable life. When Jesus asks, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self, the implication is that they can gain the whole world. And as we dive deeper into this series, we're going to be looking at the ways that we do that. We try all the ways that we attempt to gain the whole world. And I think what we'll find is that we do that subconsciously. We do that subtly, probably more than we think. So would you be open to be challenged? Maybe a little bit. Now, I think following Jesus isn't just about saying no to things. We're good at saying that in church. We're saying, don't do this. Don't do this. Definitely don't do this. But in my time as a youth, I remember being like, well, is there anything that I can do? What am I supposed to do, right? I think for a lot of us, that question, what am I supposed to do, kind of boils down to two things. Firstly, leave behind the pursuits of the world. Leave behind the pursuits of the world, which I think we talk about a lot. Number two, the second thing is that we're supposed to join in the mission of Christ. Jesus said, deny yourself and follow me. This means wherever Jesus goes, his people go. Whatever Jesus loves, his people learn to love. Whatever Jesus came to do becomes our mission as well, right? So that question, in line with Jesus' mission, how are we supposed to live? Now a huge theme throughout the Gospel of Luke is this question, what did Jesus come to do? What did he come to do? And it's kind of framed in different ways. Like, why do you sit and eat with sinners and tax collectors? Why do you sit with the unrighteous? All of those things. Now, Luke portrays Jesus as someone who is deeply invested in pursuing those who are lost. And he portrays it probably better than some of the other Gospels. When we look at the question, what did Jesus do? We look at this small text in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. This is some of the first words that Jesus proclaims in public at the start of his ministry journey. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. He quotes Isaiah 61 and he says, this scripture is fulfilled in your time. And he says that the Lord has anointed him to proclaim good news to the poor, to free prisoners, open the eyes of the blind, and set the oppressed free, and proclaim the Lord's favor. And I think the rest of Luke is kind of just a story that highlights that Jesus actually did these things, which is pretty cool. He says it beforehand and then goes and proves that he can do it. And just as the Father sends Jesus to do this, he sends us to do it as well in our lives. He sends his church. When Jesus met his disciples after the resurrection, just before he goes up to heaven, he says, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Disciples of Jesus are extensions of Jesus' ministry in the world. If he's the light of the world, then we are little light beams or little reflections of who he is. Now, that's the challenge for us, to understand that we are called to be light bearers in our world. But the Father doesn't send us alone. The truth is that you have a great power within you. You have a great power within you. A couple of weeks ago, I was preaching at Verdun, and I said that, and then a picture of Spider-Man came into my head, and I just said, with great power comes great responsibility. And then I sat there for 5 seconds, like, what did I just say? So I said it again. You have a great power within you, but with that comes a great responsibility. When Jesus sends his disciples into the world, he first told them this in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, just like the disciples, you have the Holy Spirit within you. And if you follow Jesus If following Jesus and doing what he did means proclaiming the gospel and liberating the oppressed, then we're going to need the Holy Spirit. We're going to need the Holy Spirit. And it's by the power of the Holy Spirit that you can follow Jesus to the truest extent of what that means. So friends, filled with the Spirit, would you go and proclaim the good news of Jesus in Adelaide? Now, we looked at the parable of the sower earlier, and for those of us who follow Jesus, we're all kind of sowers in some kind of way. When we have the Word of God and go out to proclaim, we are like sowers. And Jesus tells us that the seed that we are sowing is the Word of God. Now, we don't make this seed that's sown. We're simply called to just put it out there. And we don't control how that seed grows. Only that the seed gets spread to every tribe and nation, right? Now, as faithful Christians, we are called to go. As the body of Christ, we're on this mission together. And the beauty of the body is that tomorrow morning, this church, all of us, scatter into 100 different places. Almost like a fire going out. We scatter all throughout the Adelaide Hills, all throughout Adelaide, all of us go to different places. And I think that's really cool. The kingdom of God tomorrow morning enters 100 different buildings because you are there. And Jesus is sending us all with his Holy Spirit into a lot of different places. And I think the temptation, or at least my temptation in this, you can either agree or disagree. My temptation is that I want to bring a watered down version of who Jesus is to people, because for me, going out is sometimes really, really hard. Going out and talking to people about Jesus, going up and cold approaching someone and be like, "Have you met Jesus?" is sometimes quite difficult. But we're not called to bring a watered down version of who Jesus is to people. We're not called to kind of bring Jesus down to our level. Rather, elevate other people to be able to see who Jesus really is. That's what we're called to do. Which makes it a little easier, I think. Because simply saying, we can go up to anyone and just be like, "Hey, Jesus is cool. This is who Jesus is for me." Would you boldly, unashamedly declare the good news of who Jesus is to the world around you? Now, the way that we're going to respond, I'm just going to finish with this. The way that we're going to respond each week is really, really practical. Jesus invites us to join with him in his mission, and that's what we're going to do. Each week, we're going to be inviting people to respond by sharing how they've gone out into their lives and done all of this. How they've gone out into their workplaces, into their social sports clubs, all of those things, anything, wherever you go, and followed Jesus. Now, the way that it'll work is that this QR code will come up every service. This QR code will come up, and you're invited to scan it, and there'll be two things that come up. The first thing is what do we call them? Congregation? That's the one. Which congregation are you from? Which HBC congregation did you scan this QR code at? And then the second thing will be this. It'll invite you to just share a story. And it might be as simple as, I asked a coworker if they wanted prayer and they said no. That's okay. But how are you going out? That's what we want to hear. That's what we want to challenge you. How are you going out? It could be a coworker came and asked me why I'm so happy and I spoke to them about Jesus. Could be that. Could be anything. There are a couple more examples on that QR code. But let me finish with this. In Luke 10, Jesus sends out 72 of his followers. And as he sends them out, he says this. He says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Now, I think that still holds true today. The harvest has always been plentiful. So would you go out and be God's workers in the world? Invite the band up and let me pray. Good Father, thank you so much. Firstly, for the command to follow you and all the ways that you help us to do that. And so Jesus, I pray for all of us, just this blessing, that as we go out, that you would embolden us, that you would make us unashamed of the gospel, that you would help us, that you would put people on our hearts, on our minds, to speak to about who you are. Jesus, help us to go out and do the thing that you call us to. Help us to follow you more intimately daily. Lord Jesus, help us to find and to seek your word. And Lord, in all the ways that you have invited us to do that, and we haven't, Lord, we say, forgive us. But Holy Spirit, would you come and do a powerful work in every single one of us that we might be able to find and see your good work in our world. So Jesus, we pray that kind of same thing that Isaiah said. Lord, here are we. Send us. Use us for your glory and for your good. Pray all this in your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Hills Baptist Podcast. If you'd like to partner with us in developing and equipping passionate disciples who love God, love people, and boldly share the gospel, you can do that at hillsbaptist.com/giving. We pray this message has empowered you to live and love more like Jesus. Have an amazing day.